Are you guys ready for the Word of God?
Yes. Awesome. We're in a series called Joseph the Good Life. And today we're going to talk about God-sized moments and how not to miss a moment of God. In 1999, I was doing my own thing, just broke up with a girlfriend, and somebody invited me to a wedding in Minnesota on January 2nd. And I didn't really want to go, you know, weddings. You got to dress up, act all. Some of you love weddings. Some of us less, I love doing weddings because I'm doing something. But just going to the wedding and sitting, I don't know. But I went to this wedding and there was this bridesmaid. And I was too shy to go talk to her. She looked so cool and she was so pretty. And so I asked my friend, I said, who's that girl? And she said, you should go say hi. And I'm like, can you tell her to come and say hi to me? And this girl came. First, she didn't for a while. But then she came and said hello. And I've been married to her for 17 and a half years. When something unbelievable happens in your life that people can't explain, people call it a God moment. If you're alive today, you probably had multiple God moments in your life. God moments. When my child is born, I knew there was a God. My second one, my third one, I knew there was a God. It was a God moment. I've had multiple moments in my life. When I was doing business and kind of didn't know direction of my life, somebody invited me to a small church. And when I got there, it was a God moment for me. I didn't have to be there. It was like my third service that day. So I went to church, but I got invited and somebody said, you're going to be a pastor. And I said, no. But now, 15 years later, I know it was a God moment. God moment. Now, I want to give you today 5 points of how to recognize God moment so you don't miss it, because you can miss God moment. Do you remember a story of 10 virgins Jesus talked about? There was 5 wise ones, 5 foolish, and then they were waiting for a bridegroom. They were waiting, and it's a story about Christians and Jesus, really. And he said the wise one were ready. They had their lamps full of oil. And the foolish one just kind of went with the flow, you know, okay, we don't need that much oil. And then bridegrooms came, and the wise one walked in through the door. The foolish ones went looking for oil. By the time they came back, the door was closed. And they started knocking, but the door was closed. Jesus said this, here I'm opening a door in front of you that no man can close. But then he also says, and then I close the door that no man can open. God moments are just that. There are moments, and if you recognize them, you have to walk in through them. Because if you don't walk through them, you can miss them. Today may be a God moment for you. Joseph was a prisoner, sold by his brothers. They grabbed him out of a prison after 13 years, wash him, shave him, put some good smelling oil on him. That's what they did then. And brought him in front of the king of Egypt. King of Egypt says to him, can you interpret my dream? And Joseph says, I can't, but God can. So king of Egypt tells Joseph his dream. Joseph interprets it. And what now? What now? He's standing in front of the most powerful man. And here's the wisdom of Joseph. He recognizes a God moment. What would you do if you were standing before the king? You just got out of prison. They might put you back in prison. Nobody told you they're going to set you free. What would you do? And here's what Joseph does. In Genesis chapter 41 verse 33. He says, therefore, Pharaoh should find an intelligent and wise man and put him in charge of the entire land of Egypt. Wow. Listen, Pharaoh didn't ask him for his opinion. Sometimes you gotta open your big mouth. When you recognize a God moment, open your mouth. See, a lot of times we're so shy and like, well, if God wants to do it, he'll do it. If you're standing in front of an open door of God, a Kairos moment, walk through. Walk through. Joseph realized the God moment. Jesus calls God moment as a time of your visitation. Do you remember when Jesus came, Israel was waiting for him. But when they saw him, they rejected him because they didn't realize it was the time of their visitation. They rejected and they lost the moment. The greatest person in the world who ever lived, Jesus Christ, Son of Man and Son of God, the creator of the universe, the one you've been praying to, the one who created you, is here standing in front of you and you miss him. You've been waiting for him and you miss him. You could be waiting for something and miss it because it doesn't come packaged how you preconceived it in your head, and you miss it. God doesn't want his people to miss God moments. What is a God moment? It's a supernatural something. It could be as simple as supernatural peace in a time of chaos. Let's say everything in your life is breaking apart. Your job, your relationships, and suddenly, God, what's going on? There's peace in my heart. God, what's going on? It could be a promotion. You didn't expect it. You were just doing your job and boom, you get promoted. Or it could be a promotion passes you and you quit the job and start your own business and become very successful. That could be a God moment too. See, a lot of you think a God moment is when a boyfriend or girlfriend comes into my life. But a God moment could be when a boyfriend or girlfriend leaves your life. And some of you need to be praising the Lord because something left, a God moment, because you would have been regretting it for the rest of your life. God moment. No one recognized God moment like Jesus did. He lived in the moment. Have you noticed? And he had to go to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. And when he got there, Jesus, a man met him. Full of demons. Actually, he had a legion of demons inside of him. And when he met him, Jesus changed his life. He casts out a demon, puts those demons in the pigs. The pigs jump off the cliff, kill themselves. Demons have to go to hell now. They have no body. Okay? And so, and the man stands and says, I want to follow you. Jesus says, no, you got to go preach. Go tell. Actually, go testify. That's what he says. Go tell everybody of what the Lord has done. And then the men went and started testifying in the 12 cities, or 10 cities actually, on that side of the sea. God moment. Do you remember how, and Jesus had to go through this place, and he saw 10 lepers, and he healed them. And he had to go through Samaria. He had to. No, he didn't. God, Jesus lived by the moments of God. See, when you are led by the Spirit leads you into these moments. God moments. So he went and met this woman at the well. She had a big mouth. All right. She talked a lot. Plus she had 5 husbands and the 6th one was a boyfriend. But he didn't care because doesn't care about these things. And so what he does is he speaks to her, changes her life. She goes in the city and uses her big mouth to tell everybody about this moment. That could be their moment as well, because she didn't want just to keep that moment to herself. She wanted everybody to know about that moment. So she goes and tells everybody, and everybody in the city believes in Jesus. God moments. Jesus lived. Sometimes, do you remember the story where they came to Jesus and says, Lazarus, your friend, is sick. Go heal him. And he says, nope, I'm not going. I'm not going. And then 3 days later, he says, okay, now let's go. And they say, but Jesus, he already died. And Jesus says, perfect. And he goes back. He knows the moment. Jesus lived in a moment. He had a big plan, but he lived in a moment. He stayed connected to God. How do you have a great, how do you live a life where you're connected, where you experience these moments, these open doors? Is when you're connected to the Spirit of God. I want to be connected to the Spirit of God today. So what I say could be a moment for you and for me. I want to live my life where I don't miss my moments. Now life has, last week I talked about elevator. I said life is like a 10-story building. You can take the staircase, but sometimes God opens an elevator door in front of you. And you could continue to climb to the top, or you can take an elevator, a God moment, and it'll take you there. Now, but the devil is a copier of God, right? A devil copies God. So whatever God does, he wants to do. Devil also offers us moments. Come on, come on. Devil will offer you something. When he knows, see, he's smart devil. He knows what you want. He knows what you want. You want a baby? Oh, I'll give it to you. You want a boyfriend, girlfriend? Oh, yeah. You want money? Oh, he knows. He studies you. Because what you want, that's what you speak about. We talk about things we want. So he knows. He listens. He knows what you want. And he often comes and wants to give you what you want before God's timing. Think about it. Remember Joseph? He's a slave in Potiphar's house. He gets promoted. But Potiphar's wife, Mrs. Cougar, realizes that Joseph is good looking and handsome and he's well built. So she realizes that and she says, let me see if I can sleep with him. I think it was popular in those days to do that. I think they were not the Ten Commandments society. Just like Rome. Have you ever watched those Roman shows? They're disgusting. Netflix, man. But that's the kind of lifestyle they lived. They were not moral. The reason our societies are somewhat moral and cheating on your spouse is kind of bad because of Christianity. Christianity have penetrated. That's why we're different. But in those days, I mean, it was just like whatever goes, orgies and everything. So I think, you know, in that society, you see you have money, you have power, you get what you see. And here is a slave, and I'm sure he was not the first one this woman put her eye on. Here's a slave who says, no. I wonder what she promised him. What does every slave want? Freedom. I bet you, I'm speculating of course, but she offered him freedom. Imagine what I can do for you, Joseph. Imagine, this is an elevator to the top. You do me right. And came out wrong. And I'll do you right. Freedom. What were you thinking? I was talking to... scriptures here. And Joseph says, no, thank you. What? Do you know who I am? How powerful I am and what I can do for you, Joseph? Do you know what I can do for you? And he says, no. Joseph realized the elevator of the enemy. The blessing of the Lord makes one rich and adds no sorrow. The blessing, and it's not even a blessing, but it could look like it. The blessing of the devil makes one poor and adds a lot of sorrow. Yeah, yeah. How do you recognize a God elevator versus the enemy elevator? Because they both look kind of the same. Well, the elevator of the enemy comes immediately. It's fast. Here, you want it? Oh, here. I don't care if you're not ready, but here. Okay? The elevator of the enemy always makes you compromise your beliefs. It always, there's a sin involved. It bends your character. It's wicked. It's twisted. The enemy. You have to defend that girlfriend to everybody. You have to cover for her, for him, right? You have to, you know it's not right, but you cover it. You know they're not a believer, but you're like, well, their grandpa was a deacon, you know. Like, what does that mean? His grandpa was a doctor or a president. Does that make you one? No. See, you have to cover, you have to defend, you have to, it always makes you compromise your beliefs. If you have to compromise your beliefs, it's not a God moment, it's an elevator of your enemy. And he's there to take you down. That elevator is gonna take you down, not up. God says, I will make you the head and not the tail. Devil says, I will take you as a head and make you a tail. God moments. I remember in our beginning of our stages of our ministry for a long time, New Life Church didn't grow. And I was so discouraged one day, and I was driving from church probably. And I remember the moment I had, and it was not God moment. I heard a whisper in my ear, you want a big church? I'll give it to you. And then he said something else. And I first, see, you think the devil will speak like, you want a church? And I'll give it to you. You think that's how the devil speaks, but that's not how he speaks. He's the sweetest voice. You want it? Really? God is not going to do it for a long time because you're not ready. But I'll give it to you. And then I hear another voice. The devil is a liar. And it's like I shook myself. I'm like, no! I don't want anything from the devil. I don't want any elevation from the devil. Any blessing that he has to offer. I'd rather be 30 people church than to... You better be single. It's better to be single than to be married to a devil. It's better not to have a lot than to have and look over your shoulder, and now you can never have any peace because they're coming for you. And in our society, it's better not to. Anyway, let's move on. Let's. How do you know it's your enemy moment? Usually, it's fast. It tells you, Pastor Wynn, can you come? So you know God has a purpose for your life. You know, and here's what the enemy does. Then now, let's go, now. And you're like, I'm not ready yet. And you're like, that's okay, just go. All right? That's what the enemy does. He rushes you. Now, he rushes you. The enemy will rush you. That's why you know it's not a God moment. He'll rush you. Give Van a hand. All right? I've seen people leave church. You know why? Because God didn't do it fast enough. I've seen people left the job too early because it wasn't happening fast enough. Jesus lamented over Jerusalem. He said, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. I wanted to hug you like the chicken hugs her babies. Hen, right? Hen. Yeah, that one. She's like, what? That's in the Bible? Yeah. Yeah, it's actually in the Bible. But then he says, you didn't realize the time of your visitation. And now, he says, your house will be left empty. You're praying for something. It's coming. It might be already here, and you might be standing in front of the door. But if you don't walk through, the door will be closed, and you'll be praying again. And you'll be walking around that mountain again and again. There's two types of elevator, God and your enemy. Joseph realized Potiphar's wife, Mrs. Cougar, elevation is not of God. It's not of God. Is it okay to say it's not of God? There's times that elevation is not of God. Pass on it. Just say, I'll pass. No, thank you. I'll pass. Before Jesus started his ministry, he was fasting. And the devil came to him and said, let me show you all the kingdoms of the world. And he did it in a second. That means he showed him a spiritual picture. Because how can you see all the kingdoms in the world in a second? Your mind can, your soul can. It's not big enough. Your brain is, the hard drive just will not handle it. But your spirit, it can see all the kingdoms of the world in a second. Faster than a second, in a moment. Your spirit, man. The hard drive of the spirit is unlimited. It's huge. That's why when you receive a revelation in a spirit, it takes you a sermon to explain it. That's why when God gives you a word inside, you're like, how do I find the words? Because your brain is not as big as your spirit. God downloads something in your spirit, and then it takes your brain to interpret it. And so he says, I'll show you all the kingdoms of the world. And he does. And he says, all you have to do, you can have it. You can have all the kingdoms of the world if you bow down and worship me. And Jesus realizes that he did come for all the kingdoms of the world. Jesus did come to redeem all the kingdoms of the world. But it's not going to be through his enemy's hand. You're not giving me. I don't want what you have. I do not want what you have. Yes, the way I'm going to get what God has for me is through the cross. But what God gives will take me to the top. What God, do you feel the Spirit of God? What God gives is going to take a while. It's going to be painful sometimes, but it's going to be eternal. What I do will last for eternity. What you give me will take me straight to hell. And so Jesus says, no, devil, I don't think so. It is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him alone you shall serve. Before David became a king, remember he had two enemy elevators. King Saul, who is a previous king before David, chases him, wants to kill him because he feels competition. He knows David is going to be the king. Plus, Samuel, the prophet, told everybody that David is going to be the next king. And here he's running around the desert, hiding from Saul. And God gives him, and I believe the devil, because God allows these things, okay, an opportunity. Here's Saul. And David has an opportunity to kill Saul. David says, hold on. This is too easy. This is too easy, you know. Get rich quick. This is too easy. I don't have to do anything. Just pay you $19.99. That's it. No? Oh, that's too easy. I'm too smart for that. I fell for it before. No. Hold on. And so he says, no, this is not a God moment. Even his servant, David's servant, says, kill him. He's trying to kill you. David says, nope. And he says, let me kill him. I'll take a spear and I'll pierce him. He won't even make a sound. And David says, no, that's not a God moment, and I'm not going to take it. I'm going to pass. Then he gets another opportunity, and he passes at it again. And he says, no, I will not kill God's anointed. I'm not going to do it the wrong way. I'm not going to get the kingdom the wrong way. If God wants me to be a king, he'll make me a king. But I'm not going to take it by myself, by force. And later on, Saul goes to battle and he dies in battle. He actually falls on his own sword because they're going to take him alive. And the whole Israel comes to David and takes him and make him a king the right way. And nobody can say, David became a king because he cheated, because he lied, because he's a bad man. No, David honored the king who tried to kill him. Listen to me, young people. You are about to make a lot of new decisions. Reject the enemy's moment and wait for God's moment. Reject. I know you want somebody to love you. Reject the enemy. Choose God. Say, if it doesn't feel right, if it makes you bend your character, your beliefs, it's probably not the person or not the timing. Reject the God moment. Reject the enemy moment. Take the God's moment. Now, how do you recognize God's moment? I'm going to give you 5 points and we're almost done. 5 points, 5 minutes. How about that? 11:55, 5 points, 5 minutes. All right. Number one, how to recognize God's moment. Live a life of expectancy. You got to live a life of expectancy. Jesus told us, be on the watch out. Watch out, because you don't know the day or the hour that the Lord is coming. Now, what's expectancy? It's you expecting something, okay? Do you wake up expecting? Yes, everybody does. The only thing is, what do you expect? Do you know you can choose what you expect? Most people wake up expecting that something bad is going to happen to them. Listen to me. Most people wake up expecting something bad is going to happen to them. They expect fear. And so, I might get into a car accident today. I just have a bad feeling. Or I might get sick. Or something's going to happen to my children. Or maybe I'll lose my job. You are walking expectation. You are a walking expectation. But did you know you can choose what you expect? You can expect for God to bless you today. You can expect for God to speak to you today. For example, when I wake up, I try to expect that there's a blessing happening today. I'm just waiting for it. I'm expecting that no weapon formed against me shall prosper. That God is going to bless me. Maybe through other people, maybe by himself. You can wake up in faith expecting, or you can wake up in fear. If you're living in fear, often you can miss the plan of God. So expect. Live a life of expectancy. Joseph was in prison, but he didn't allow the prison to be in him. Joseph was in prison, but he didn't allow the prison to be in him. He was living a life of expectancy. Number two, live in a moment. I tell my children, plan for the future, live in a moment. Many of you today are living in your past. Oh, I've done so much wrong, or the past was great, but now it's not. Or many of you are living in the future. That's called worry. What's going to happen tomorrow? Am I still going to have a job tomorrow? Are we going to be able to pay our bills tomorrow? Here's the truth. Yesterday is gone. You must forget about it. Paul says, I forget those things that are behind me. You must forget about yesterday. The mistakes you made yesterday, the blessings that you had yesterday, forget about them. Only unless you're worshiping God and saying thank you for being faithful. The future is not here yet. All you have is today. And so what you can do is you can live in a past or in a future and miss today. You can miss the moment. You can go on vacation and miss your vacation because you're worried about tomorrow. You can miss your moment. Two thieves crucified with Jesus on the crosses, right? Remember that story? Even on a cross, Jesus offers a moment. Have you noticed that? Moment of salvation. So he's on a cross and two thieves are with him. One of the thieves begins to curse and mock Jesus. He says, you call yourself a son of God. Imagine barely breathing. You call yourself a son of God? Well, get off the cross and save yourself and save us. I think that's a devil moment for Jesus too. Get off the cross. Call the legion of angels and they can help you. They'll wipe everybody out in a 30-mile radius. And Jesus doesn't even respond to that. But there is another guy. Another guy on the cross. And he realizes the moment. And he says, Lord, remember me. Remember me. He realizes the moment. And Jesus says to one, today, he says, truly, truly, I say unto you, today you will be with me in paradise. One walked in through the door, the other missed it because he missed the moment. If you're a Christian led by the Spirit, God sends moments to bless you, and you can miss them because you're not ready for them. Because you're not expecting him, because you're living in a past or you're living in a future, you're full of worry and anxiety, and you can miss the moment of God. The elevator came and the door opened and then the door closed and you missed the moment. The thief on the cross found his opportunity in the most unlikely and unexpected place, but he recognized and seized on it. Recognized the power of the moment. Joseph did. You can too. Number three. Do not preconceive the moment. Here's what we do a lot. We preconceive. Here's what the moment should be like. Okay, if you're looking for a spouse, right? You're like, okay, this is what she should look like. And God brings you a person and you're like, no. Too tall. Too short. Too skinny. Too full. Complete. Too complete. Too perfect. And here you are, and here God brings you a person. And you're like, he's such a good friend. And God is like, that's how it starts. Whispering. Hey. Those are the best kinds. The friends. That starts with friends. The ones that are going for the cookies right away. Those are not the good ones. You know what I mean if you've been to our marriage stuff. Seminars. But you're like, no, you have a picture. This is what he should look like. He should ride a horse, a white one. It's got to be bright outside and preferably by the beach somewhere. And here God send you a good person. You're like, you know, that's how Israel, for thousands of years, they've been waiting for their Messiah. But because they preconceived what he should be riding on a white horse with a big sword, with an army of angels. He should come bow down to the Pharisees and Sadducees and say, hey guys, thank you for holding the seat for me. I'm here now. Can you help me? You know. But Jesus didn't come that way. He chose to come a different way. Listen to me. There is your way and there's God's way. And let me just break it to you. God's way is much better. God's way, God's plan is much better. Remember this verse, Ephesians 3:20. Ephesians 3:20. Let's put it on the screen. Now to him who's able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above, say above. Say above. Above all that we can think or ask according to the power that works within us. Listen, God's plan is always better. And so stop drawing pictures and expecting God to fill those pictures. Stop saying if it happens this way, and stop making boxes and then expect God to fit the box. God is a God of abundant. More, exceedingly abundantly, above all. God is bigger, more, better. Listen, God's plan is better. So if you're going to choose between your plan and God's plan, choose God's plan. Now it's good to make a plan. But if God brings you a different plan, say, okay, God. Often our plan are flesh plans. It's according to flesh. I want it to be hot. I want him to be muscly and tall, dark and handsome, and with a pile of money in ink. But most likely, you're going to start with somebody just like you, with credit card debt, and a little bit of bad credit. You're going to start with somebody like you. It wouldn't be fair to another person if you came with $2 billion in credit cards and they had to pay for it. It wouldn't be fair to them. So you're going to start pretty much with a person like you. And God is going to bring you a person like you. If you are a 9, he'll bring you a 9. If you're 8, he'll bring you an 8. Just learn to recognize the moment. Learn to recognize the moment. I've seen people marry disbalance-wise. And one is always worshiping another. Oh, she's so pretty. And another one is like, oh, man, I can't believe I married him. Come on. This is reality. I know faith and stuff, but this is real talk. Real. It's getting too real. Four. Put in the work. People who wait for God moment and are not working hard to prepare for it are fools. People for who are waiting for God moment but not preparing themselves are fools. A friend of mine told me a story about he had an employee who worked for him, and this employee was a great guy. He was a good worker, and so the boss wanted to promote this person to where that person could make 3-4 times more than they are making now. And so they talked, and finally the person says, "Yeah, of course I want a promotion, blah blah blah." And so he got promoted, and now he had more time and more freedom. You know, when you manage, you have a little bit more freedom. But that's not freedom to be lazy. It's freedom to work harder and do better. And, this person stopped coming to work. He got promoted and stopped coming to work. To the point where he started working just like 2 days a week. And the boss said, "What's going on? Why aren't you working?" He's like, "Well, all I need to make is what he was making when he was working 40 hours a week. And to do that, I only have to work 2 days a week." And the boss said, "Well, that's good for you that you have to work 2 days a week. But I have overhead. I have insurance, liabilities. I have bank mortgages. And I have to pay for office space and equipment. And so if you don't work, yeah, you might be fine, but I'm not fine." And the person's like, "No, I think you're just greedy." He says to the boss, "I think you're greedy." So the boss lets him go. So he goes looking for work, and now he had an easy life because he only worked 2 days a week. And now he had to find a job where they won't let them work 2 days a week. Nope, nobody. God doesn't want you to work 2 days a week. God told you work 6 days, rest one. So if anybody you're going to blame for being greedy, blame God, because God says work 6 days. Thank God for United States. We said, should we take a Sabbath off, meaning Saturday or Sunday? And then we just said, why don't we do both of them? That if God is a Saturday God, then we'll please him. And if God is a Sunday God, then we'll please him. So we win here. But around the world, it's 6 to 7 days a week. You go to Mexico and you ask him how many days a week you work. 7 days a week. 7 days a week. And then I have a half day, and that's when I go to the mall. I go to the mall. Right? Right? So if you don't put hard work, you'll miss the moment. You want to be a singer? You got to put hard work now, not just when your moment comes. "Oh, no, I'll prepare when I just need a day to prepare." No, if you're not ready, you'll miss the moment, okay? Want to start a business? Well, start doing something about it. Start preparing yourself. Start buying equipment. Start doing side jobs. Don't miss your moment. Man, I got a story for you guys, but there's no time. Man, I got a story. Can I quickly? 1 minute. Okay. In 1997, I started a business. In 1998, a person who I was working for, there was an ice storm. And one of the burial grounds, what do you call them? Cemetery called me. Let's see. Cemetery calls me and says, can you do this? And we'll pay you so much a day. And it was huge. And I figured, okay, I'm going to make more money than I ever thought. Had no equipment. Wasn't ready. I frustrated myself. Wasted money because I was not ready. Made the people mad. They hired somebody else for a higher price. Not because I was lazy, but I wasn't ready. Wasn't ready. I barely got like a small amount, just enough to pay the rental stuff that I rented from, you know, rental places, because I didn't have any equipment. My dad gave me a small van, and that's how I started. In 2013, there was another ice storm, a big one. Remember that? It was huge. 3 days, it rained and froze on the trees, and so it broke. But I was ready by then. And boy, what a bonanza it was. Like, the phone calls didn't stop ringing for like, I mean, I might have got 1,000 phone calls that day, just in one day. By the time I answered the phone, there was like 3 messages already on my thing. And boy, were we ready. And I'm not going to tell you how much we made, because none of your bees works. But it was a God moment. I was ready. Tomorrow, even today, you might have a God moment. What will you do? Will you take it? I would say yes. Take it. Today or tomorrow, you will have the enemy bring you a moment too, an elevator, and says, "Come on, jump in." An enemy's elevator is flashy. A lot of flash. Jump in. Say no. Reject. Listen, God isn't a business of blessing you. God, the eye of the Lord goes to and fro, walks all over the earth, seeking the heart who he can bless. That's in the Bible. God is going around looking. God is not a God who's looking to punish somebody. That's not what God is. God is looking to bless somebody. Will you be ready? Say, God, make me ready. God, help me be ready. Joseph realized this moment. Your big moment is coming. Will you realize it? Will you be ready for it? Hallelujah. You know, I think 4 is enough. 4 points is good. Stephen King said, talent is cheaper than table salt. What separates the talented individuals from successful one is a lot of hard work. Don't miss the hard work part. Oprah Winfrey said, luck is preparation meeting opportunity. If you hadn't been prepared when the opportunity came alone, you wouldn't have been lucky. Preparation and opportunity. The moment is the opportunity that God has for you. What are you dreaming about? What are you praying about today? God will do in your life when you're ready. Will you be, and will you take the step with God? Or would you have taken the wrong elevator? And when God was there, you were there. And so today, Father, we reject every plan of the enemy in our life. We say no to the enemy of our souls. We say no, we don't want your will. We want God's will. We pray your kingdom come, your will be done in my life as it is in heaven. God, I want your will. I know your thoughts and plans for me are like the sand on a seashore. And so I want your moments, God. I want to walk into my moment, God. In Jesus' name.
Thanks for tuning in to New Life Sermon Series Online. If you're blessed by these messages and are interested in helping spread the word of God to others, make an investment today. You can give at newlifechurchsf.org. If you have a story or a testimony to share, let us know on our website as well. We hope you have a blessed day and enjoy today's message by Pastor Alex.